Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
Yeah, hot chocolate. Looking at the gifts under the tree.
I got you something special this year, Dawn.
What did you get me?
I got, well, I can't tell you.
Oh, okay. Is it an appointment with a podiatrist? That's a great gift.
What the hell is going on over there? It is Christmas today. It's Christmas on the Adventures of Bradley and Dawn.
Yes, because it is very snowy outside. We were slip sliding away this morning on the roads, and we really haven't had snow this year. If you're outside of this area and you're listening through the stream.
I do wonder sometimes, like, the people that are like, I'm in Arkansas, and they're like, why do they keep talking about all this weird weather? Because it's been weird. Right now, I do see some blowing snow still. Mike, it's still going out there, right?
I think the snow may have stopped falling. It was supposed to be right around this time it's going to stop falling, but the issue is still going to maybe have some of that light rain, and then also blowing snow, like you just said, is going to be pretty brutal.
But this is not the only holiday we're celebrating, right,
Dawn? That's right. Now we're going to talk about the Easter Bunny.
Why are we going from Christmas to hippity-hopping and Easter's on its way?
Because I wanted to know the origin of why we put chocolate bunnies in Easter baskets.
Did you just like have a random thought, or did you just come across something? How'd this come about?
Yeah, I had a random thought because I was like, why do we, what's rabbits, why, you know? Because of the traditional, you know, not the pagan part of Easter, but the Christian part of Easter has to do with Jesus rising from the dead. And I'm like, what does a rabbit have to do with that?
Yeah. Was a rabbit next to the tomb?
Yes. So I found out that Ostara is the Germanic pre-Christian fertility goddess.
Oh.
I hope I'm saying that right. Apparently kept a rabbit as a sidekick. Now, the word for Easter, Ostern, in German, is derived from her name.
Hmm.
And her namesake festival was held around the month we now call April. Germans came to embrace the fictional character Osterhas, a rabbit who delivers eggs to children at Easter.
I think the rabbit delivering eggs is the weird part for me. Like, why a rabbit delivering eggs?
Well, because this rabbit was the sidekick of
a chicken,
the fertility goddess. It refers to rabbits having sex because they are high in fertility.
Yeah.
You know, they get it done real quick.
So instead of dropping off little, I don't know, rabbit pellets, they're like, you know, eggs.
Eggs represent new life. And that was like a spring equinox thing and celebration of.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting that a lot of our traditions in that way, a lot of our sort of secular traditions around Christian holidays are from Germany, like the Christmas tree and all that stuff. So the Easter rabbit is also a pagan experience.
It really is, yes.
So it's from the devil. So you should flush it down the toilet or you're going to hell.
No, because that waxy rabbit isn't ever going to dissolve. It's not real chocolate. It's just those ones that are very cheap. You feel bad because, you know, you might not have a lot of money for your kids for Christmas, and you're like, I'll put this waxy rabbit in there.
Money aside, I feel like that's just all we had as kids. I mean, unless you were like super fancy, I don't want to hear about like, oh, my mother only gave us real 100% cacao. Like, no, we all had that.
That's true.
That nasty ass Easter chocolate with the giant hollow bunny with like the candy eyeballs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you ate it anyway, even though it was probably the last thing you ate because it really wasn't that good.
But you're sometimes, so excited about it anyway.
Oh, for sure. And sometimes you got a solid one, but it was real small.
Yeah.
Right? Like the solid one, you break the ears off.
Yeah.
And even that chocolate was dusty.
It was dusty. Well, there used to be an Easter Bunny Museum in the Center for Unusual Museums in Munich. They showcased a bunch of Easter rabbits, but it's now defunct.
That's German for not
working anymore. Yeah. And then how did we get
defunct
chocolate bunnies come to America? Well, it looks like Germans on a chocolate boat in a land of Hallelujah. Yeah. What is that?
Land of Hunnally.
Hunnally. There we go.
Puff the Magic Dragon. Mike, we're on a trip today.
Sounds like you've been puffing the Magic Dragon.
Like, the scary thing is I know exactly what she's talking about.
Listeners Mike is
have
like, no.
Zero clue.
What? Some of them know. A land called Hunnally.
When we were kids,
Puff
Mike.
The Magic
Dragon. Yeah, you had Puff the Magic Dragon, right?
Live by the sea.
Yes, I'm well aware.
Frolic through the autumn in a land called Hunnally.
Little Jackie Paper.
Yes.
I don't know that I knew that. It's Little Jackie Paper.
Yeah.
Who is Jackie Paper?
That's actually in reference to joints that you roll. Little Jackie Paper.
Wow.
Is the...
I am so...
What are they called?
I didn't know.
Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff. And brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff.
So this was just some kind of hippie in the
60s? Oh, right? Clearly. Puff the Magic Dragon has it's all about pot.
Here, I thought it was a cute little dragon.
Well, let's go back to Easter for a second.
Did that come from Germany, too?
I don't know, but chocolate bunnies came to America from Germans who brought that tradition over here. And actually, I was excited to see that one of the first times commercially it was used was in 1927. There's a photograph, which we weren't able to find, but apparently two young boys flanking a mighty 75-pound chocolate rabbit in front of Florian's Pharmacy in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, that's cool.
The owner was a son of German immigrants, so they brought that tradition over here. So we thank the Germans for that.
That is fascinating. I know that from some random story, the French, I think, don't the French have like an Easter bell that flies?
I'm
or
sure
something
they do.
Like I didn't realize that Easter Bunny wasn't just ubiquitous like Santa Claus, and that I mean, I should know this, that different cultures have their own traditions, but I think it was the French have a flying Easter bell. Let me look here.
That doesn't seem
and then the bell
sweet.
Drops all little chocolates out. I'm looking at it now.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
The flying bells of Easter. So yeah, I mean, I guess all traditions are kind of like, if they're not yours, they seem probably more odd.
Nothing is ours.
Fact that we, well, no, it's ours because it's what we grew up with, but it comes from something that, you know, if you think about it too hard, you're like, that don't make sense.
That's right.
Did you always get an Easter basket as a kiddo?
I did. The Easter Bunny would come, and my mom told the Easter Bunny that I only liked black jelly beans, which was true. So my basket was just full of black jelly beans. It was like a death basket.
Oh, God.
It looked funny.
Did you get anything like chocolate, or just the jelly beans were black?
Jelly beans were black. There were other, like, you know, little chocolate eggs and other foil-wrapped, brightly colored candy. And then there was usually an Easter bunny in there, like a chocolate bunny.
Yeah. Mike, did you always get an Easter basket?
It was always usually like an Easter scavenger hunt. I would open up an egg, and then it would have a riddle in it to like, oh, this is, I don't know, where you go to the bathroom. Obviously, it would be some fun, like whatever. And then you'd go to the bathroom, and there'd be an egg hiding somewhere in the bathroom.
Oh.
And then you'd open the next egg and say, well, this is where we keep the bread or whatever. But obviously not as simplistic as that.
I love that.
And then I would run around the entire house, and eventually, boom, there was the basket.
I just remember my mom would hide the basket, and I had to find the basket somewhere in the house, but she didn't go to all that trouble.
Sure.
She was not as creative as your parents.
Well, the Easter Bunny used to hide my basket and leave a trail of jelly beans to find it.
Ooh.
And apparently, from what my mom said, that was its poop.
Nice.
I like that. Do you know that my cousin saw the Easter Bunny?
Really?
Yeah, my cousin Tanya. Okay. Because one year she told me, I saw the Easter Bunny. And I was like, you saw the Easter Bunny? And she said, yes, it was in my room. And I did not at first believe her, but then she sounded very convincing that she woke up in the middle of the night and the Easter Bunny was just standing in the corner of her room with a basket staring at her.
That's not fun at all.
I kind of thought the same thing, but she swore by it. And to this day.
Well, that would have terrified me, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe the bunny was little and not like a man size.
I will say the Easter Bunny is the scariest holiday creature.
What?
Santa Claus, not scary.
Leprechaun?
Well, I guess it depends on what kind.
Yeah.
But usually they're like, you know, Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
I think the
The movie Leprechaun.
A giant
man
sized rabbit seems a little freakish.
Yeah, yeah. Little rabbits that have very powerful teeth to carry baskets.
Oh, they use their teeth?
What else are they going to use?
Their hands?
I guess they'll just hop on two legs.
Yeah, don't they?
I don't know.
Hey, when we come back, we got to catch people up on Sacha Baron Cohen. Why? Because he has become the topic of a really skeezy story. The skeezy story in question, we don't actually have details for, but we're kind of honing in on it. And it all revolves around a movie he did with Rebel Wilson, who wrote about this experience and a whole chapter in her upcoming book. And she gave us a preview of it, and he has responded, and he responded through lawyers. So if that tells you anything, we're going to give you more details when we come back right here on My Talk 101.
Oh, my. All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Hello. Oh my God. Thanks for listening to My Talk 107.1. This is your place for entertainment, and sometimes that includes celebrities fighting with each other, which Rebel Wilson teased something about her book, Rebel Rising, that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Then she got threatened by some people, and mm-hmm. she decided to reveal some things. Can you fill in the blanks, please, Brad?
Yeah, so apparently she's now claiming, Rebel Wilson is, that Sacha Baron Cohen tried to stop the release of her upcoming memoir because, mm-hmm. well, there's a whole chapter. Apparently it's chapter 23. That's what she told us, titled Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
And in the description of what she's going to tell us about Sacha Baron Cohen in that chapter, it involves the word butthole.
Oh,
I should be clarifying. I mean, like he is
not nice.
I wrote a book and there's a guy. And anyway, okay.
I mean, his costumes go pretty far sometimes. I just hoped you were talking about the body part.
No, she said, I will not be bullied or silenced with high-priced lawyer or PR crisis managers. That bleep hole I am talking about in one chapter of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen. Because she had dropped a hint about it and then finally named him because apparently his people came for her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're releasing their statement publicly that is Sacha Baron Cohen's people. And this is what they said. This is a spokesperson for Sacha Baron Cohen. Quote, now, we should also say is it 2016, I think, they were in the movie The Brothers Grimsby. And that's what the story probably references. The statement says, quote, while we appreciate the importance of speaking out, these demonstrably false ad, hold on a sec, these demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present before, during, and after the production of The Brothers Grimsby. So that is a very specific response to something we don't know anything about.
Mm-mm.
And I just thought the detail with which that statement responds indicates this is probably going to be a pretty damning story. And we got a hint, because I think other stories have hinted at this, that he apparently asked her to get nude in this movie.
Right.
Or at least that might be part of the story.
Nude scene. Mm-hmm.
But what I find interesting is the detail with which they respond by saying these demonstrously false claims. and are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including, as I said, contemporaneous accounts, film footage. Like, that's a lot of, like, we've got, like, they've done their work. You can tell that whenever the story comes out, their, quote, response will be detailed, which says to me, you don't just do that for any sort of, like, oh, he was a jerk. And he was kind of sexist or kind of a pig or, you know, whatever.
He didn't like the fact that I didn't want to do a sex scene.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to have to be more than that.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything about, like, if she claims that she was a victim of something serious and that comes out, then I will definitely, you know, we'll all definitely look at this story differently. But if it's just a matter of we didn't get along, I don't know why we need to write about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that can be, in this day and age, really, really bad for someone's career.
But I'm saying, I think this statement indicates it's going to be more than that. Like, I don't think that his lawyers are going to go to the extreme of having, like, witnesses testifying to, oh, that didn't happen. What, that he was a jerk? No, you're going to have people testifying that he didn't. I don't know what the allegations are, but it seems like more than he was a jerk. Because why else would you need extensive, detailed evidence?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Detailed evidence and other people. I mean, when I heard that, I was like, okay, well, if he did or said something inappropriate, it's not like you're rolling all the time. You're not rolling the camera all the time. Like, things are said behind the scenes. You aren't able to record every account of somebody's activities, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you have evidence that was on camera or from other people, but he could have said something to her privately that was hurtful or something that that cameras didn't pick up or other people.
In 2016, she did an interview, that is Rebel Wilson again, and said at that time that he wanted her to film a nude scene in the movie.
Okay.
And she said, quote, "You want to know that the people behind the camera have a certain sensibility and decency, and a lot of times in comedy, they're not those people."
Mm.
And that's vaguely referring to him. But again, I feel like this is going to be more than, like, he wanted me to appear in a nude scene, and I was like, no. And then he was like, okay. You know.
Yeah.
And again, she's writing a whole chapter about him. Something tells me it's going to be detailed. That said, it's just a sign of the culture that we live in, that if you have a story like this, you're going to monetize it for the purpose of your autobiography, because this is the one piece, at least, that's the only headline I've seen. This is how I learned about her having a memoir that's coming out in April 2nd. And I'm sure the people around her are like, you have to lead with this story. No,
yeah, something needs to get people to buy these books, which I'm sure this will help.
And we'll probably do it. Yeah. And we'll have more when we learn that story. But when we come back, Dawn, we have to talk about the federal raid of Sean Diddy Combs' properties around the country. You got the details?
I do.
Fabulous. We'll get to that and more when we come back on our Christmas celebration. Ho, ho, ho! How you doing?
Merry Christmas! It's very, very snowy outside and slippery, too, so be careful driving
in. Yeah, go slow, please.
We thought it was Christmas when we woke up this morning.
Oh, God. I really did, and I kind of had a... It's interesting how the weather can just have such a profound effect on your mood.
Yeah.
I have to fight against the urge to just curl up in a ball.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I completely agree, especially whenever... thank goodness I don't have a window that's open in the bedroom for me to see what's going on.
You don't have a bedroom window?
We do, but we have it all closed. Oh, okay. So no one looks in and we don't look out.
What?
Yeah, to make it really dark.
Very shady.
Well, this is because we want it
pitch
black in there.
In.
Yeah, you know, you don't want anybody looking in your windows. Anyway, then when I'm totally awake, then I go to the kitchen and I'm already committed to having on my makeup and I'm dressed. Mm. So when I look out the window, I'm like, uh-oh. Well, we'll get through it, I'm sure. Okay, P. Diddy.
She's just shuffling papers over there, Mike.
I'm trying to find a piece of paper here. So what went down yesterday in Hollywood and Miami was that federal agents raided Sean P. Diddy Combs' mansions. They were looking most likely for evidence about these sex trafficking claims, because they have had three women and a man come forward with allegations that P. Diddy treated them poorly and also sex trafficking charges. So that is most likely why they are raiding his homes.
Well, and law enforcement officials did actually confirm that, or at least they told TMZ, that this is all coming out of the Southern District of New York and appears to be tied to, quote, sex trafficking, as you mentioned, allegations which already have been alleged by other people in different lawsuits. So
right.
That seems like a pretty definitive confirmation.
Right. And then we initially had Cassie, who was with him for a very long time.
Well, then we have that Lil, is it Lil Jones? Is that his name?
Rodney Jones?
Rodney Jones,
yeah. He was a former producer and videographer for P. Diddy, and he claims he was repeatedly sexually assaulted by him and subjected to unwanted advances by associates of Diddy in his direction. And it goes on and on in detail.
And there have been rumors for a long time. The blinds have certainly been rife, and of course, rumors don't mean much. Federal agents who are armed to the teeth. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw the video. I know you did. The videos of like there was like water landings and like armored vehicle pulling up. And I'm like, what the heck do they think he's got in there?
In Miami, it's just like the way they do things. They surround it on all sides.
There was some video of people on a boat just like tootling by like, oh, God.
Oh, God. That's a SWAT team. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, maybe you're just having a little tour of...
Nice afternoon with your boat club.
Right. You better duck and cover. Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen. But they did, cops near the scene of his L.A. home, officers had to shut down the entire area. Helicopters were swarming above. At least two choppers in the area. A lot of police were on the ground. And then we did see his sons who were being questioned outside his either L.A. or Miami home, and they were in handcuffs. So they were home at the time, and maybe just as a precaution, I'm not sure why they had to put him in handcuffs, but, you know.
Well, I'm sure anytime, you know, the feds come in to raid stuff, they're just going to take everyone and put them aside for a minute so they can't destroy or get rid of anything.
Yes. So then we have that situation going on. And the latest from TMZ says that at the time, you know, yesterday we thought we saw also that his jet was in the Caribbean and there were photos of his jet and that they were going to potentially raid his jet as well. And like he's nowhere to be found. Well, that is not true. The jet was sent to Antigua and he was not on that jet.
No.
But he was seen after a while. TMZ tracked him down because they heard about, you know, they knew which airport that he usually leaves out of. And after these raids in the afternoon, he is seen at the airport. They got stopped by the feds because he was, I guess, there to get on another jet that he has.
Yeah. One in Antigua. I just thought that was like they sent it to him. He was like, just send my jet to Antigua so they can't confiscate it.
I think so. I think you're right. That seems to be his main jet. Well, this one, they had stopped him. Federal agents stopped him there at the airport and other people in his party. And they're, I'm sure TMZ just was like, let's go to the airport. This is like an executive airport, by the way, not the main airport. It's for private jets and things like that. And so he's seen just outside the airport. There's video footage of him just pacing.
Yeah.
Just walking back and forth, waiting for the rest of his party that were being questioned.
Well, and there's a story in TMZ now that says Diddy says he never saw it coming. Yeah, usually that's how feds work.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know the time and the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the hour.
It came as a surprise. Oh, I'm sure it did.
It shouldn't be that big of a surprise, right?
Well, not if you know you did wrong.
And you know that there have been lawsuits against you.
And obviously, if those civil lawsuits are indicating there was illegal activity, you would imagine that federal authorities, because in this case, they would be those activities would have crossed state lines, that therefore the federal authorities are going to get involved.
That's exactly right. So
that's a lot.
It is a lot.
You know, it is. I will just say, stick with us, kids. Why? Because the blind items have been talking about this for years. And so it's now coming to pass.
Right. And Mike, you were talking about that there are some people that have been talking about this, other celebrities, including Cat Williams, yeah, who are taking a victory lap.
Yeah, he had a video, and this came out a couple of months ago, just a video of him kind of calling out a bunch of people and essentially just saying, eventually it's all going to come out, everyone's going to get theirs, and then this has resurfaced now after what happened. But 50 Cent is another example of somebody who has long been a rival, so you always don't know how much is truth, how much is just you trying to like drag someone's name through the mud. Mm-hmm. But obviously, getting your places rated would lend a little bit of fact to those stories that these people have been talking about.
And Aubrey O'Day, she put something on Instagram that said, what you sow, you shall reap. Mm. And said, I pray this emboldens all of us victims. When I first read that, she capitalized us, and I was like, all U.S. victims? And I was like, are we, what? She just meant us. Us victim. I'm an idiot. To finally speak on what we've endured.
Mm-hmm.
And she has talked out against him for a long time.
So. Yes. And then we had Cassie last November filing a federal suit in New York against him. Shocking claims, including human trafficking, that he broke into her home in 2018 and forced sex on her. Just the worst things that you could think of. And that was towards the end of their relationship in 2018. And they had broken up. And that's when that assault happened.
I did want you to know, though, I found this to be the most fascinating part of this story. It turns out the most important person responsible in this legal battle.
I know what you're going to say.
Prince Harry.
Oh, no. Not Prince Harry.
Yeah. And probably Meghan Markle, too.
Okay.
Is that what you thought I was going to say?
No, I thought you were going to name like Robin Greenhill from Britney's case.
No, you were getting...
TriStar Entertainment, yeah, which is connected to Britney and her conservatorship. They're just dirty rats. And they were basically the ones found out in the lawsuit that they were paying the sex workers or women. They were transferring payment to people.
Oh, okay.
So
no,
they're involved as well.
That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about this dumb story from Page Six, where, of course, at some point, the tabloids are going to figure out how Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are to blame for the world's greatest injustices, including P. Diddy's alleged sex trafficking lawsuit / investigation, because there was at the top of the Page Six this morning, it literally said Harry roped in. And then the story says that Prince Harry was name dropped in the $30 million sex trafficking lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs. And it says basically that in it's Lil Rod was his name, Jones, Rodney Jones, in his court case that was filed last month, they reference Prince Harry, but only to paint or illustrate an example. So, for example,
this is awful.
It says that guests were drawn to Diddy's alleged sex trafficking parties due to his, quote, access to celebrities such as famous athletes, political figures, artists, musicians, and international dignitaries like British royal Prince Harry.
So
of course, they're like, Prince Harry was named in P. Diddy's sex trafficking lawsuit.
It's like, no.
This is not an Epstein experience.
No, it's not like he was. It's just like he had access to people like this. It doesn't mean that Prince Harry was involved in sex trafficking.
I would imagine that the spokespeople for Prince Harry are like, hey,
can you
did
not?
You have to include our name like that?
Yeah, please don't.
Could you take our name out of your mouth?
Because, you know, let's just not forget about Prince Nasty.
Yeah, because if I were filing a lawsuit against Jeffrey Epstein, I don't know that I would be like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was in cities that played host to people like Don McLean.
Right.
And Bradley Traynor.
Right.
And, you know, like, just because two things are like coexistent does not
like
make
he knew Prince Harry.
Yeah,
that's it. Maybe they partied one time.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that
But of course, the Daily Mail, this was also the top story over the Daily Mail at one point. So you can just imagine it's right. Not long before they're going to work up a way that they're like, find out if Meghan Markle ever got a picture with.
Oh, well, what they'll do is turn it into Meghan Markle's husband.
Yeah.
And then it'll be a title with Meghan Markle had something to do with P. Diddy's trafficking.
Yeah. Meghan Markle's husband.
Yes, exactly.
Meghan stayed home today as Prince Harry is named in Sean
Combs. Oh my gosh, that's
true. Sex trafficking lawsuit while Princess Kate's dying of cancer.
That's right. Because they were, when we talked about Princess Kate being diagnosed with cancer and revealing that, I said, just watch and wait. There will be headlines about Harry and Meghan. And sure enough,
Mike and
I opened the internet the next day Monday, and it said, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle go to an event the night before the reveal of Kate's cancer diagnosis. Yes. Like, they're supposed to psychically know.
You know how Harry and Meghan are fighting with Kate and Will? They didn't tell them
they
had cancer or she had cancer. So why?
I mean, she didn't even tell some of her aides.
Here's the other thing. If somebody tells you, hey, I was diagnosed with cancer, you're going to go about your life?
I mean, yeah.
Probably.
Unless I'm their primary caretaker.
Yeah.
Things would change. But, you know.
I'm just saying, like.
And plus, did
they know? If you had family in another country that had bad news, you're probably going to go on with your life and wish them all the best and support them in any way that you can. These two probably won't because they're emotionally disconnected. I mean, I will say Harry did go see his father after his father announced that he had cancer.
Right.
Whether or not he'll go see Kate, I don't know. But that relationship is a little more fraught than I think the one with his father.
Definitely.
And that's primarily because, well, it led to fisticuffs between them.
That's true.
I just like saying the word fisticuffs.
Well, that's great. It's a great word.
We got to go.
Yep.
When we come back here on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, from Sean P. Diddy Combs and Princess Harry and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. We need to talk about TV. I started watching a new show last night. I think you might like it. And I'm curious if anybody else has
this podcast.
Have you been working through some weight control issues in your life? Well, Livia Weight Control Centers is there to help you. I'm Dawn, and I did the Livia program, and it was great for me. It was easy. It really works. And I got a personalized plan. Now, that wasn't just special for me. They actually do that with all of their customers. And these are doctor recommended programs tailored to your unique life. And they dedicate themselves to motivating you, see you succeed, and it's really great. And you're going to get the first 3 months free when you mention me. I did the program, and grocery store visits became easier. They knew what my goals were, and they helped me get there. They also have breakthrough weight loss medication that are offered right now. So ask them about that at 855-GO-LIVIA. Or you can go to Livia.com, and they have many convenient locations to help you close to your home or work. So join Livia today and get your first 3 months free when you mention
us.
If you don't know that it's snowing outside in Minneapolis, St. Paul right now, it's news to you. And we have 274 days until Christmas, but we're in the Christmas spirit because this is one of the only snowfalls we've had.
I'm decking the halls with my bows of holly.
Oh, gosh.
My bowels of holly.
Your bowels of holly? I don't know if Holly would appreciate that.
Did that look good?
From the morning show. Okay,
Does
are
she
back.
Does she know she's in A Christmas Carol?
I don't. Probably.
Sure she does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are back. We need to talk about what you're watching on TV.
Should we do a little boobs on tubes?
Yeah.
Boobs on tubes. What are you watching? Boobs on tubes. Boobs on tubes. What are you watching? Boobs on tubes.
I think I told you after watching a trailer for a TV series coming to Netflix called Three Body Problem that I was interested. At least I have that vague memory. Well, I started watching it last night and it kept popping up in my Netflix feed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I need to sit down and actually watch this.
Yeah.
And I did the first episode of three-body problem on Netflix. Now, the sort of like thumbnail is there are a bunch of scientists who are dying. I won't tell you how or why or any of that because I don't quite know yet fully, but people are investigating it. And then like these scientists, you're kind of like learning about some of the science. But there are also flashbacks to like 1960s China during the Cultural Revolution.
Oh,
it is some trippy stuff. And I will say I'm so fascinated by where this story is going. It's based on a novel that apparently was very popular, the TV series was created by David Benioff. But the Chinese novel is by a person named Liu Cixin. And it's the second live adaptation after another series. But this one premiered on Netflix just this month. So
okay.
Have you heard about Three Body Problem?
I have. It actually just popped up on my Netflix feed last night. And I thought, oh, I remember the name Three Body Problem. What was it? And I saw a trailer for it somehow.
Yeah. I think we talked about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It looked interesting.
I just remember like seeing like the scientists see almost like they have Google Glass on, just like in their eyes, they see like a date.
Yeah. Sort of overlaid on, you know, as they're looking out into the world, overlaid on their eyes is this countdown that sort of appears. So it would be like you see the countdown, but nobody else sees the countdown. And it's only certain scientists. And well, bad things happen when the countdown is done.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you what happens. But Mike, have you watched this at all?
I've not seen it yet. And you've mentioned David Benioff's name. And of course, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff are the guys behind Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So there was a lot of good before their names got turned into bad. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of love and a lot of people who really admired what they did with Game of Thrones until the final season. And it sounded like they were maybe, they had their eyes set on a different project and maybe just quit worrying about the show as much as they did early in the season. So I'm excited because I think those guys did a lot of really good creative things together.
They did, and they were pulled into writing the next Star Wars movie. That's what people were like, you didn't finish Game of Thrones and you guys just moved on to Star Wars. But then they didn't end up actually doing the Star Wars movie. They were supposed to, so it's like wah wah.
Well, but they did do this show, and I will say now it is a trip. Like, it gets trippy real quick and you're like, what is going on? And so there's enough mystery that I want to keep watching, so I'm excited to see where it goes. Do you guys have anything that you're obsessing over lately?
I just finished Lessons in Chemistry that was recommended by Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally it wouldn't be my thing to watch, but he said it was probably one of his top shows of all time.
It's in my top 10 favorite show of all time. So if you haven't,
why so?
I just love the storytelling. I love how they keeping it interesting. Back then, there were a lot of different cultural things going on, and they really explore and weave into a lot of those. It's a love story like I don't recall seeing often.
So tell us what it's about, roughly.
Go ahead, Dawn. You can.
Oh, yeah. So Brie Larson is a chemist, and she is, this is the 1960s, and I mean, she's treated just terribly. You know, people assume she's one of the secretaries. She's actually a lab tech, even though she has her, she isn't a doctor, but she has her master's in chemistry and she's extremely intelligent, but she's just never allowed to just be a scientist at this tech lab. She's just an assistant to the scientists, the chemists, rather. Yeah. And then she has a really unlikely, she's very sort of like robotic in her behavior because she's just on that other level of communicating with people. And then she meets someone who the character is actually Bill Pullman's son who plays the role. And then, you know, they have a love story, and then it ends up, it starts off where she's doing a cooking show on TV for women. Brief scene of that. And then it goes into her being a chemist.
A real fancy chemist.
Yeah, and so it goes through that leading up to the TV show, and you understand now why she has a TV show, a cooking show that's, you know, in the late 1960s. And going on during that time, you know, you had a lot of problems with race relations, and that is brought up, fighting for rights for Black people. And that's all involved in the show. And it's done in a way that's just really beautiful, you know?
Okay.
So she's a champion for that cause.
And that's Lessons in Chemistry. Where do we see that?
It's Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Apple TV Plus. Three Body Problem is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just put in a quick plug for Roku?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a Roku, but I have the app because I downloaded it because... The Great British
something. Yeah.
The Great American Bake Off, the American version of Great British Bake Off, you can only watch it there.
Yeah.
They have all of the Great British Bake Off episodes and seasons, all the original ones back when it was like Mel and Sue. It's a little weird. You got to like subscribe and do all this stuff, but it's free.
Right.
And you just have to watch a couple commercials. But there's so much stuff on that thing.
So much stuff on Roku.
Tons of free content. Anyway. Thanks for sharing, kids. If you have any great TV shows you want to tell us about, drop us a note and we'll mention it. But when we come back, we need to discuss food drones.
Oh,
food delivery drones. When we come